This club's about winning trophies. I'm inexperienced in a lot of those things.
Three nil.
Sorry for smiling there.
Almost lost the cup and you win it. The new European champions, the treble, the dream come true for you.
Oh, I can't believe that. I can't believe that. Football, bloody hell. But they never give in. That's the winner.
Welcome to the American Red Devils podcast. I'm John.
I'm Alex.
And we're bringing you the best Manchester United news from this side of the pond.
Ooh, sir, how we doing? Manchester United, three games on the hop. Erik ten Hag and his Red Army are just getting started. That back four looks locked on. I'll tell you what, if Raphael Varane can stay fit all season, we're going to be in good shape. That is a big if. Martinez growing into every match. Bruno, Eriksen, even McTominay put in a good performance. Sancho with a great goal. Rashford with the link up. Ronaldo coming on looking good. De Gea with some big saves. And I'll tell you what, my man. I am so glad we did not appoint Brendan Rodgers as the manager of this club, because Erik ten Hag has an uphill battle. He probably picked all the transfers. There was no front office doing nothing except for overpaying. Can you imagine who Brendan Rodgers wanted? How are we feeling?
I guarantee you Harvey Barnes would be a Manchester United player. He almost had a banger against us. Look, it was a great match. You win 1-0, clean sheet, clinicality, mentality. We got it all here. Away as well, Manchester United 3 on the trot. Could you believe it? What a turnaround from Erik ten Hag's Red Army, and a big match this Sunday against those Gunners. If anyone has seen the Amazon Prime series. What do they call it again?
What's
the
All name? Or Nothing, baby.
All or Nothing, Arteta.
Nothing, that's what it was.
Softer than soft serve. Crazy Arteta with those weird speeches. Nobody's buying what he's selling. And this Arsenal team is ready to just be like destroyed by Manchester United. If we play with the same grit against the Scouse Bastards, we'll destroy Arsenal at home. They're going to be shaking in their boots. Everyone thinks they're going to win the league. Arsenal, you kidding? Are you absolutely serious? They're not going to win the league. Come on. We got him. I'm feeling confident for the first time in a long time. Maybe that's a concern. Maybe I'm too confident we're going to beat the Gunners, and we're due for like a 6-0 trumping at Old Trafford.
I mean, I like it when I'm not going to go there 6-0, but when we're the underdog, we perform really well. Up into the Liverpool match, nobody gave us a sniff. Everybody thought we were going to get annihilated, ourselves included. And obviously, that changed. Last three matches have changed because the style of play, the identity, the personality. Personalities of the individual players and as a team and as a unit has kind of started to emerge under Erik ten Hag. Winning is contagious. Dude, I think United have a point to prove. I think he's going to switch it up a little bit. That midfield that he's been using for the last three matches, I think he's going to change it up. I would like to see the Brazil connect. Casemiro, Fred shut down. You know, they got some Brazilian players on their end at Arsenal. It's a huge match and they're flying high, bro. But Arsenal, the one thing you can tell from that All or Nothing documentary is, I'm sure Arteta has some skill sets, but his team talks are absolutely insanity. Be a potato. I mean, like, what is the most versatile vegetable? The potato. He's just a loon. They seem to have a very good front office. I'm sure they can run circles around John Murtaugh and Richard Arnold. But that being said, they need a real test. They haven't played any top teams. Manchester United, we're a top team. I can't wait. Let's go. Big season ahead.
And our main man, we haven't even talked, Anthony Dunn. Transfer window done. Ronaldo stays at Manchester United. To all the Ronaldo Muppets out there, my man, he's staying at least until January. And you know, it's cold in Manchester, so he's going to want it out of there. We shall see. At that point, he can pick what team is still in the Champions League. I think that's probably when he goes, if he goes. Who knows what's going on behind the scenes? Did Joel Glazer block it? He said he was going to do the interview 2 weeks. I was imagining that he would do the interview after he left Manchester United. Now he's staying at Manchester United. The soap opera that is Ronaldo, is that good for Manchester United? Probably not. And that's on the owners in the front office to just clean that mess up. I love seeing Ronaldo as a Muppet staying, but there could be some baggage that come along with having the all-time greatest footballer sitting on the bench. That's not where he wants to be. Like we said, his ego is the size of a planet. I can't believe he hasn't like just walked out already sitting on the bench as much as he has. And Mendes got to take that big L. Couldn't get him out of Manchester United.
I'll tell you what, I'm sure Mendes is getting an earful from CR7. Like you said, it's a test for, you know, it's a test for CR7 if he can kind of hold his ego in check and just say, hey, I'm not the
main
man.
He's not going to be able to do that.
I know he's not. So far, so good. I mean, he's doing a decent job.
He has runaway ego.
Yesterday. He came off the bench yesterday, looked good. His link-up play was good. He held up the ball well. He had some good movement. He had a couple balls across the five-yard box where if we had a striker, he'd be scoring goals. He wanted to move. He didn't get a move. And that's going to be a certain type of riff in, you know, the overall fabric that Erik ten Hag is looking to build. He, you know, we don't know. Erik ten Hag always postured like he wanted him to be part of the team. We heard rumblings in the press that was the opposite. We've heard rumblings that he's a dissatisfied kind of individual, that some of the other players are kind of calling out that.
It could be from the Maguire camp, the Shaw camp,
the English
camp, the Pie camp.
Because there's also a story recently about how in February, Ronaldo was pushing for Maguire to get benched. That was rebuffed. Now we're seeing what this team looks like. So obviously,
who?
We didn't have Lisandro Martinez and a fit Varane last February, but it's a totally different back four. It's a totally different mentality.
I'll tell you. Nothing like being the captain of Manchester United. You heard here on the pod. It's like he's still the captain. What? He's a horrible defender.
Only if he starts.
He gets benched. Clean sheet. It's like two clean sheets. We're playing great defense. It's like teams playing much better out of the back. Like the whole team is changing when you bench Harry Maguire. Sorry, Harry Maguire, but you know the evidence is right before your eyes. Kudos to Ten Hag for making the big calls, benching Ronaldo as well. It will be interesting to see what comes out. We'll hear more of what went on behind the scenes. But quick PSA for the podcast before we get into everything. If you like the America Red Devils, we are for fans, by fans. That is our motto. You want to support us, check out our Patreon page, patreon.com/AmericaRedDevils. We're trying to get to 100 subscribers. This is the way we want to go. We want to go the direct fan support route versus pitching you all these different sponsors. We have been contacted, but we've declined them all because we think it breaks up the pod. So if you're on the edge, please support us on Patreon. It goes a long way to help us bring you better content. And we're coming up with new ways. Got a lot of exciting things in the pipe here. Shout out to Patrick Boylan, who signed up to be an East Stand supporter. Shout out to you, Patrick. Really appreciate it. And we're also dropping our exclusive Patreon podcast episode for August. So you'll be able to listen to that if you sign up. Check out our website, AmericaRedDevils.com. Click on store. There's great merch. There's also great blog content as well. Sir, tell them about iTunes reviews.
iTunes reviews or five-star reviews of the America Red Devils podcast, wherever you listen. It's a great way to support the pod. And even better, ARD is still giving away free gear. All you have to do, write a five-star review of the America Red Devils podcast wherever you listen and send a screenshot to AmericaRedDevils@gmail.com with your mailing address, and I will personally pick, pack, and ship some free ARD gear. Send it straight to your door. Speaking of a great review, here's a good one. Five stars from Benevolo303. The Manchester United love with the USA at heart. The team that I give my heart to every match has the voice of two guys who just get it. I love when the alert comes in so I can celebrate the wins, screams about the losses with people who feel the same way as me. Appreciate you. Appreciate all the American Red Devil fans listening, giving out those reviews. It goes a long way. Helps us get found organically. Sir, for Muppets, by Muppets.
That's a great Muppet review because we're not here to outsmart you. We're not here to tell you how to think. We're here just to ride that emotional roller coaster of the fan on the side of the couch, and that is what being a fan is all about. All takes are welcome, even when Alex hated the Cavani signing and then loved Cavani. You know, that's just the fan roller coaster that we're on. You know, you love Falcao. He's got the Falcao shirt. He's got the Di Maria shirt. You got the Lukaku shirt. So you just go, you know.
I got a great
You pick them all. You know, you got a great. But that's the experience of a fan.
It's true.
That's the experience of a fan.
Especially a Manchester United fan who, I have to say, we've got more signings wrong than right over the last decade. So shame on me. I'm not buying any new players. That's my rule.
Oh, my God. Let's get into it. Leicester City 0, Manchester United 1 at the King Power Stadium.
Clean sheet.
In the Premier League, game week 5. Let's get into that lineup. Dave Saves, world number one in net, playing better. De Gea, new haircut, new keeper. Let's go. Malassi at left back. Martinez, Varane center back pairing. Dalot on the right. McTominay playing CDM with Eriksen, Fernandez. It was really Eriksen and McTominay in the two. Bruno in the hole. Sancho on the left. Rashford at nine. Alonga on the right. Ronaldo on the bench. Casemiro on the bench. Maguire, Lindelof, Fred, Garnacho as well. What'd you make of that lineup?
You know, not too many changes. I think this is almost the same lineup as the game before. That back five, unchanged, really kind of putting a stamp on it. Varane can stay fit. That is a very, very good defensive unit. Deleau has been growing into every match. He looked immense, I think, yesterday against the Foxes. And then Scotty getting the start. I thought Casemiro would play. Maybe he didn't save the Arsenal match. But, you know, all being said, it was a good 11, and actually that midfield played really well. Those three, Bruno, McTominay, and Eriksen had a good match. What did you think of it when you saw it?
I'm very surprised Ten Hag did not make changes given the rotation required from the Thursday to the Sunday, because that means the rotation's going to come on Sunday. Because like you said, Varane made a glass. Love him. Great when he's healthy. He's played always played great when he's healthy. Maybe one game he didn't have a good game for Manchester United, but when he's healthy, he's on. And when you have a player's injury prone, this is where I thought my manager had to be a little bolder. It's Leicester City; they're struggling. This is his team. This is his 11. Was he too scared to change it? I kind of felt that. And then you're gonna have to change it for Arsenal. Obviously, Antony comes in for Alonga. That's not a difficult decision.
Casemiro,
but Casemiro's gonna come in. I guess that's the one. Right, Casemiro for McTominay.
Does he start? Ronaldo is the question, right? Ronaldo looked pretty good. Maybe you save him, bring him off the bench.
He's playing the same back line. That's what I was surprised about.
No, it's a good point, because I thought like maybe you bring in Casemiro. He gives better defensive cover than McTominay. That would allow you to give a slab head a roll. And then I was also thinking we got even more matches, because we got next Thursday, we have our Europa League campaign gearing up, sir. So maybe that's when you start seeing the Magoos and the Lindelofs and the Shaws of the world, and maybe ADB, a whole new back line. But I do agree with you. My concern is, like, of all the 11 that you're relying on, there's probably none that are more important than just, like, the continued success of this team. The Varane, he is a Rolls-Royce center back. Dude, he looked so good yesterday. He had, like, a near-perfect game. But if he goes injured, all of a sudden you're back to Martinez and Big Harry, bro. Big Harry looks good on the bench.
I mean, I'm sure it has to do with the sports science telling them at this point, hey, Bruno can go 90 and then go 90. It's early in the season. So, you know, we'll see how it goes. Coming out in the first half, United looked tidy. Foxes looking to press high. They were aggressive. 11th minute, great chance for Eriksen. Bruno passed it to him. This is another great opportunity. You're starting to see those two link up. Eriksen looking like the signing of the summer. We haven't seen Antony play, but for the money, he's like very understated in the team, but such a solid player. Makes us look so much better.
So involved in everything. And I almost can't believe how much Erik ten Hag is relying on the Dane. I mean, yesterday I was like, take him off. The guy's going to probably play on Sunday. He's 30. He's got a pacemaker. Give him a blow. But he's been immense. He's been everywhere. Such a player.
And we will get United will get that breakthrough in the 23rd minute.
Defending that by McTominay. Perfectly timed challenge.
Now space ahead of Bruno Fernandes and Marcus Rashford and Jadon Sancho around the keeper to score for Manchester United. Smoothness itself. Delicious ball movement from United. Calm execution. And problems upon problems for Leicester City.
This is a great goal of simplistic genius, isn't it? Indeed, he does well initially to spot the run of Sancho. The ball's cleared and they switch off a little bit. Leicester, you see Ndidi making his recovery run, but nobody's picking up. Everybody watching the ball ahead of Evans and Ndidi, and then two touches. Wonderful. And Ward comes out, commits himself.
Again, great counter goal for Manchester United. And when we play against Arsenal, the counter is going to be where we win the game. And that's why it's weird seeing Leicester, Southampton play a little bit aggressive against us, because if you just pack it in, you know, with that test we've yet to come across. But that's the one I think that will get us. It's the Burnley, the Builders, who obviously aren't in the EPL anymore. But a team like that, just two banks of four packing it in.
And we'll get that. You know, I think this is a little bit of the byproduct of everyone think this is the old United side that you could just pass through. This has to be said. It was a tidy performance all day. You know, they had a couple of moments. Obviously, that Madison free kick, but that's where De Gea comes in. But it was just, it was quick counterattack. Delow evolved again. He is growing into every match. He is starting to look really, really like a solid defender, especially going forward. Bruno with a nice pass. Marcus with just the nice feeding pass into Sancho, and then he rounds the keeper very well. Good for him to get another goal. Finally starting to hit his stride a little bit. What's not to like about this goal? And you, dude, 1-0 victories are like, those are the ones that matter. Clean sheets, we just didn't have nearly enough of those.
37th minute, Harvey Barnes, decent quick shot. Almost beat De Gea. This one was nervy here. Coming in the second half, Foxes came out with a little bit of venom. 51st minute, Madison getting into the game. Dave saves, huge save from De Gea on the free kick. Full stretch for the Spaniard, gets it. You love to see De Gea doing his job. He's had a few good saves ever since that horrible
Brentford
error, right? He comes back big, and that's where he's on the big money. He's a professional. Yeah, give up that horrible goal. New cut, new me. Let's go. New season. De Gea on a roll here. I love to see De Gea coming back because people just killing De Gea. And he makes an error, but he comes back stronger. That is a professional. You can't knock that, right?
No, all day. Dave's new haircut. Like you said, the whole defense has been on the bounce the last three matches. He's also had some big saves. This is a huge one. This was probably their best chance of the entire game.
This gives you 3 points. This you have to call it when he makes an error and it costs you 3 points, you got to call it. And he makes this save and it saves you 3 points because our attack isn't firing to the point where we're hitting two, three. We don't need the save. We need these saves right now to bridge us to get to Antony, to bridge us to get to Ronaldo being involved because, you know, beating Southampton, a bad Southampton, Leicester by one, you're looking at your back line, your keeper to hold it down. And that's how you get these critical 3 points. These are the games that Magoo would give you, give up that goal. That is the difference maker here. 59th minute, Casemiro for Alanga, our Brazilian comes on, look good. 68th minute, Ronaldo comes on, looks really good. CR7 linking up with Rashford. I thought we should have done better with Ronaldo linking up. 71st minute, Delow, big block. This is a thing about Delow. Is he a bluffer? Is he a dog? And right here, 71st minute.
Look like a dog. My dog.
Gets to the byline, blocks the cross in, and just pounding his chest, screaming. That is showing you the change in mentality. And look, I was coming in hard on Delow. I didn't think he had it in him. I thought he was a little soft. This, to me, shows me he's a player. And this is a moment you got to call out, getting the touchline, making a big block, and then seeing what it means to him because he knows that that's his job and he's doing his job big time for Manchester United here.
I haven't seen the team mentality. I haven't seen a look this positive. And even like the Ole high-flying days where we were scoring lots of goals on the counter and that all fell apart, it didn't feel like this. This feels sustainable. This feels like they're building something. The defense, that back four, I know we're going to get injuries. There's no doubt about it. Mainly with Varane. He's going to get injured at some point. But that being said, I think that's why they were able to pull Dave out of the abyss around, like, you know, I'm sure he was in a cloud after the Brentford performance, but that back four is building on each other. Martinez and Varane are just such a good pairing. The fullbacks are growing in every game. And like you said, I had a lot of questions around Delow, but he's getting better and better. Offensively looks better, and also defensively, he's stepping into challenges. He's putting his body on the line, and he's doing the little extra thing because this was – these moments add up, and the camaraderie is huge because, like, clean sheets are going to keep us in the top four challenge because, unfortunately, that is the marker for this season.
I mean, these types of clean sheets and 1-0 wins we've been missing.
Yeah,
and this is the difference here. 83rd minute, Ronaldo with a decent take just wide with the scissor kick. This one should have went in. It was very close. He kind of muffed it into the ground, but I thought that the English on the ball, the spin, would make it go in the net. 84th, Ronaldo and Bruno link up well. CR7 with a great ball, but Eriksen can't tap it home. I think Johnny Evans got to that cross. And then Fred came on for Rashford, locking it up. I also did like these subs from Erik ten Hag. I thought they were the right decision, bringing Casemiro, kind of stop the bleeding here after we had that 51st minute free kick from Madison. McTominay did give Madison another opportunity here. And then Leicester with a decent late chance, but Martinez scares the player and blasting it over. Martinez also had another yellow card in the game. He looks he's good for a yellow every time he's out. Like he's that red card's coming for
first
sure.
Yellow. It was his first yellow. First yellow.
He looks like he's getting like the challenges. He's very comfortable putting in challenges that are going to get him yellow cards.
Look at the foul stats.
I'm fine with
this. Is the last two games we've doubled their fouls. This team's full of dogs now, sir. Full of dogs.
Stats, United 9 shots to Leicester's 10. Shots on target 2 to Leicester's 2. Possession, we had 46% of the ball to their 54%. And obviously passes, United 513 to Leicester 593. Look, that's a way you would be surprised for us to have less of the ball. A bad Leicester team trying to play us.
They are bad, by the way.
When they switch to defending and we have 70% of the ball, let's see how it goes. That's the situation I'm looking for. There's a few tests that United need to pass. What happens if Leicester score in the 70th minute, right? What happens if they pull one back? What do we got?
Right.
And then a team is just going to pack the box and say, we're going to counter you. We're going to give you the ball. How do we do it? And is that front three enough to be able to break them down? Is Bruno and Eriksen enough to break them down? These are tests that we need to pass if we're trying to make top four, and we shall see how we perform. Match reaction, Manchester United have been shown more yellow cards than any Premier League side this season. Their average of 3 cards per game is the highest for any club in a single campaign in the competition's history.
Let's go.
That means we're going to get those 5 yellow suspensions. Sir, I don't look at the table until Christmas. I'll cover my ears. You can tell the Muppets where we're at.
Well, I look because people keep talking about it. Gunners are number one. It's only obviously 5 games in. They're at 15 points. Then City. Jesus, Holland's going to score a hat-trick a game. What a player he is. Open up your ears, Murtaugh. You missed that one. Tottenham, 11 points in third. Brighton, 10 points. And then big, bad Manchester United in 5th place. I'll tell you what, we were bottom of the table 3 game weeks ago. And here we are. 3 wins in a row. It makes a huge difference. Scousers behind us. Chelsea in 10th. Sir, we're growing. We're growing into the season. Long way to go, but it's exciting things ahead.
But what do we know? Let's check in with the manager, Erik ten Hag.
Habit of winning. 3rd game on the trot. What did you make of the performance?
I think, again, a step forward. So we are happy with that. Again, good team spirit. Again, 11 players on the pitch who fight for each other. And good compact, good press. And I think a lovely goal. But also room for improvement still. But that's normal, start of the season.
Very classy goal. Dalot, Fernandes, Rashford, Sancho's beautiful move.
Yeah. We can be that dangerous in the transition moments, we know that. And especially second half, also first half, there were many spaces and we didn't even explore them that well. If we make one or the other better decision, we should have scored the second goal.
Yeah, was that a concern in the first half? Because you did have a lot of the ball and you had chances, but you didn't quite, we weren't ruthless enough maybe.
We have to be more. So what I say, there's room for improvement, and we will work on that.
And Jadon Sancho, you can see his confidence is on the up after the goal from Liverpool and tonight.
Yes, but he had also a really good pre-season, and he sees now we invest a lot in pre-season, now during the season, and you see then he can make the difference. He's a great player, but also the whole team, because I think it's a really team goal once again.
And also winning away from home, which is something that Manchester United haven't been doing recently, that shows the character and a bit of fight in this side that you're trying to build up.
Of course, and I'm happy with the clean sheet. And you see, when there are 11 on the pitch who defend together and attack together, and when you have that in, the energy, and then you see what you can achieve.
And the options that you have.
The one thing about Ten Hag, these pressers are pretty easy when you win, especially by one away at Leicester City at the King Power Stadium. But I'm not buying what he's selling me in this suit. This suit with the polo. He's got to change the look. I need full Muppet, like Adidas jumpsuit on the touchline. He'd be a little scarier. But this suit situation with like the colors on the lapel, it doesn't. I'm not buying it. What do you think?
My takeaway, first and foremost, is this guy looks like a hard. He looks like a hard man to please. Either way, and I like
he
that.
He is, but he should have a hard man to please outfit.
Oh, and this is a Europa League outfit. You know, when he goes to the Champions League next season after we either finish the top four or win the Europa League, I'm hoping that he like transfers from the polo look to the full on button down, a la you know a proper Manchester United man. Or you go tracksuit, full numpty, which I don't mind either.
I like that.
I know you like a numpty.
He's like he should be full tracksuit, like no undershirt.
He's a tra-
like with he's no undershirt, but like. It's zipped a little low, you know, like that should be his look. Maybe
he's
like
a hairy guy, sir. Look
at
his head.
I don't know, but like he should just look a little unhinged because he is unhinged. He is. I'm like, and as if Ten Hag, you want to hire me to be an assistant on your staff, I'd be like, you want to look more unhinged. That's a good thing for this team. So there's always a next match, Manchester United versus Arsenal, the Gunners, Old Trafford. Game week 5, Sunday, September 4th, 8:30 a.m. Pacific, 11:30 a.m. Eastern. Love that kickoff time.
Game week 6. Sorry, it's an error on my part.
Game there. Week 6 in the Premier League.
Premier.
Games 1, 100 versus Arsenal. Drawn 50, lost 86. First time we played them, Newton Heath versus Woolwich Arsenal, 1894. We drew 3-3 in the second division. Coming into this one, Arsenal have pipped us. Arteta has gotten the best of Manchester United somehow, some way. They've gotten pretty lucky in some of these. I think there was a VAR call with Aubameyang being offside, but they let it play. These ones give a bad taste to my mouth. We've lost 3. We've drawn 1. We've won 1. Last time we won being December 2021. We got to be beating Arsenal, the soft, soft gunner side. You've seen it in that hysterical documentary. Arteta is just a nut.
A nut.
You think Pep Guardiola is a nut, and then you see Arteta. He's even worse.
Those speeches. I've never seen anything like it. Those speeches. Like him just drawing figurines.
I know.
It's nothing football.
I haven't watched them all, but I got the highlights. If you haven't seen them, watch them. Like the light bulb one is... We played high school football. I mean, there were some speeches where you're just not buying it, you know? Like you know, there's
a lot of
some coach speeches. You're just like, all right, let's just, it's not that, let's just go play. Come on. Like, you know, we want to play. Lose. Like it's not a big deal. Arsenal coming to this one, last 5, they beat Palace 2-0, beat Leicester City 4-2, beat Bournemouth 3-0, beat Fulham 2-1, beat Aston Villa 2-1. Those are the worst teams in the league. Crystal Palace being the hardest team they've had to play there, and Crystal Palace has struggled. Leicester are off it. Bournemouth,
relegated.
Off it.
They're gone.
Fulham, I mean, they did get a point against Liverpool, but his first day, and Villa, Stevie G might be fired. The only
fired
team
too.
That's like celebrating like they won the league 5 games in is Arsenal, and they've played all the worst teams, so let's Erik ten Hag, make sure the boys punch him in the mouth, and punch him in the mouth at Old Trafford, and get 3 points. Because this is a doable game. This is a big set-the-tone game. United, we did it against the Scouse Bastards. Time to do it again versus Arsenal. I am absolutely pumped for this game. And given Erik ten Hag's track record, we're not coming out like Wet Noodle FC. And I think it's going to take Arsenal for a surprise. Arteta will be nervous too.
No, it's a great point. You know, it's like I think there was a resetting of expectations just in the footballing universe after we humbled Liverpool and showed how much grit this team has. And you cobble together 2 wins on the road. Not great opposition, but hey, we lost to a lot of not great opposition last season. So there's a style of play, there's an identity, and most importantly, there's a personality. Gunners, they're flying so high, they're so ahead of themselves, and we are just... We got to grit out a strong performance at home. I think the Old Trafford fans have been unbelievably, you know, buoyant and excitable since Ten Hag has gotten going. So it's a big match, but it's a big test for United to kind of like, let's quiet down Arsenal and let's recalibrate everyone's expectations around Manchester United this season, because this is a big one. If you get a big win at home, all of a sudden it's like, well, this United team looks pretty good. Not that we're going to win anything, but, you know, I like to... solidly finishing that top 4, so we can give even more money for Erik ten Hag to spend next summer.
A little history on the Gunners. They were founded in 1886 by the munitions workers at the Royal Arsenal in Woolwich. They founded the club as Dial Square, and in 1913, after destruction of their South London stadium, the club crossed the city to Arsenal Stadium, where they, you know, everyone knows about Highbury, becoming close neighbors of Tottenham, creating the North London Derby, obviously fiercely contested until this day. And Arsenal was the first club from south of England to join the Football League in 1893 when they reached the first division. And they reached the first division in 1904. Arsene Wenger is the longest serving manager and won the most trophies. He won a record 7 FA Cups. His title winning team set an English record for the longest top flight unbeaten league run at 49 games. And where did they lose that? They lost it against Manchester United. And that's where they got the nickname, the Invincibles. Arteta comes out.
Great match, by the way. If you ever watch a classic match, that's a great one. That's like Ronaldo, pre-fancy new teeth, and they just humbled him at the Highbury. It's a great match.
How dare you, calling out Ronaldo for his new teeth. Arsenal play the 4-2-3-1. Arteta, it's just going to be really interesting. Got to stop Jesus at the back. Saka, Odegaard, Martinelli. Obviously, Xhaka, we've seen him get Martial sent off easily. Ben White, Saliba, Gabriel, Tierney, Ramsdale. I mean, as far as the back line and the midfield, they're bluffers. I'm worried about their attack. I'm not worried about getting at them. And I think how we've been playing on the counter, looking that sharp, I think we'll be good. Physio room, Palestri, ankle injury, Martial, calf. He might be back for Arsenal. It is going to be close to call on Brandon Williams, undisclosed. You don't like to see that. Given those injuries, what is your lineup here?
So I think Ten Hag is going to have to make some changes, as you should, with the game coming, you know, 2 days later. But I have De Gea in net, same back four, Delo, Varane, Martinez, Malassi. I'm going to do Casemiro and Fred, finally try out that midfield duo, give Eriksen a rest. He's needed it. He's worked his ass off the last couple of weeks and played full 90 minutes yesterday. Bruno is number 10. I'm going to do Ronaldo up front, Sancho on the right, Rashford on the left. What you got?
I got Dave Say's world number one in net. I got Delo, Varane, Martinez, and Malacia. I wish he would have rotated a little bit against Leicester because they're struggling. Casemiro, Eriksen, Bruno, and then you have Rashford, Sancho, and Antony. You're going to bring in the main man. You look at what Alonga's done. Anthony's got to come right in. I feel like he's not going to do that. You look at how he's handled Casemiro. I think that's because of the rotation against Arsenal. He's saving him for this game. Anthony's got to slot in. Because you got to be going for pace. We're going to be playing the counter. That's why Sancho, Rashford, Antony is the way to go. I would love to play Ronaldo, but Ronaldo should be playing against the Leicesters of the world. It's just the way the timing has gone with the transfer window, I'm sure. You're going to see Ronaldo come in against teams that are, you know, on the lower end, and then teams we're trying to counter. You need the pace. Booking the bookies, sir. Give us the odds here.
United are actually the favorites, sir. Plus 155, draws plus 240, and then the Gunners plus 170 on the road. Can you believe that? Top of the table, Gunners are the underdogs against big, bad Manchester United.
What's your score prediction for Arsenal at home?
At home. I'm going to keep this trend going. I think it's going to be 1-0. Who gets the goal? Why not CR7? He's due for a goal. Maybe he comes on late, gets a winner. But United, it's all about that defense. Another clean sheet against high-flying Gunners. I can't wait for this game.
I'm going to say 2-2. I'm going to say we probably should win the game, but the Gunners, given the footballing gods recently, they've been getting a lot of favors coming to our house and playing us. So I'm going to say we draw. Great game all around. Probably should win, but somehow Arsenal penalty. Cheeky VAR something.
Definitely insert gonna be a penalty. Something definitely here. Gonna be a penalty in this game.
All right, let's get into the news here. United in the news. Transfer news. We got a lot going on here. The transfer window is over. Manchester United have spent £227 million and brought in quite a few players. Antony closed. Casemiro. Lisandro Martinez, Malacia, Christian Eriksen, Dubravka. Don't sleep on 33-year-old Dubravka. Those are the players that we have brought in. How are you feeling about that group of players, the way we were brought in? Apparently, it is a $203 million net spend. And obviously, that was all on the credit card because Manchester United only has 80 to 90 million in cash on the balance sheet as of the last quarter. You're going to see the new financials drop. You're going to see the same amount of cash. Well, then where did the money come from? This is all structured out. So the Glazers putting more on the credit card. We need a new stadium. Spending money we don't got. Taking money out of the club. We can get into that in the Glazers Out Corner a little later. But, you know, This is quite a bit of big investment. The way we did it, the way we came around these players, interesting, but the way we're playing football at the moment, you can't really complain about it.
No, I mean, on Erik ten Hag's side, I think given the front office that he walked into on his first day, he would have been pretty pleased with this window. Now, like that being said, if we had a competent front office and you were willing to go out and spend $214 million, I do believe if you got after the same players but went after them earlier in the window, because we know they were available, it was made known, i.e. Lissandro, Antony, and Casemiro especially, you're not going to get a better deal on Malacia or Eriksen, right? Malacia for 12.5 is a great deal, and Eriksen for free, you can't beat that. But if those signings were done earlier and more proactively and less reactionary, we could have had money for another CM, another like young striker like that player that went to Wolves at the end of the window, or even a right back to challenge with Dalot. So, you know, that's my complaint. I think the quality of the signings are there. Antony is the one that scares me just because of the price tag. But obviously, highly rated by Erik ten Hag, played under him, wanted to play for United. I like that. Brazilian, young. He's got a high ceiling, but he's still very raw for £86 million, somewhere between a Maguire and a Pogba. Both of those haven't worked out very well. So my big complaint is, like, we got some good signings in. We probably needed more signings in, and we could have spent the money better because these players, three of the five big transfers could have gotten in earlier and cheaper if we had a competent front office without, like, Johnny Murtaugh and Richard Arnold, like, going down to Barcelona looking like a bunch of fools. But the quality is there. Like, Casemiro is a world-class CDM. Lissandro Martinez, he's 24. He looks a really good player. Same with Malacia. Eriksen is a stud. The big one's Antony. That's eight. I mean, that's big money, sir. What are you thinking?
You know, that it really, you look at the total spend, £214 million. Like I said, that's on the credit card. You take 85 off of that, you know, you clip them 85, you're looking at 130 million. And that's one player, almost half of that amount of money. And the thing about Ajax, you look at how much we paid Ajax, about 136 million straight to Ajax. Apparently their revenue is less than that. So the amount of money we're paying them is insane for those two players, which is, you have to call that, look, the Muppet I'll get to the Muppet take. I'm getting to the business take. I'm getting to the Manchester United got to run this company with no money take. The we're going to sell our footballing rights take if we can't sell the club take. Like, this is kind of where we're at as a club. And I just don't think it's very responsible when you have $80 million in cash, you're maxed to the debt, you have $140 million you can spend on the credit card. Spent some of it, but we're structuring this out with Ajax. That's what I'm getting at. $136 million. Ajax has taken that over 5-6 years.
Right.
That's exactly how you're getting to these big numbers, which at the end of the day, the Muppet take is if we play better football, which we are, then it doesn't matter because it's the Glazers' money. Right? And that is true because you look at who he's brought in. Eriksen, instant impact. Malacia, instant impact. Martinez, instant impact. By the way, Casemiro, good to be an instant impact. All those four players changing Manchester United for the better right off the bat, and that is something we haven't seen in a long time from transfer business. So what's the difference? It's Erik ten Hag. It's not the front office. The front office screwed the pooch on overpaying for these players.
Yep.
They screwed the pooch on getting a free right back or loaned a right back just for cover. Get rid of Wan-Bissaka. Play the amount of money we made on sales, $10.35 million. We called it out at the beginning of the window. There are deals to be done. There's good players to sell. Chelsea want Harry Maguire. Sell him $35 million. Generate some cash. Looking for us to be nimble in the transfer market instead of just overpay FC. Can't sell FC. Day late, dollar short. Leave it late. No money down FC. That's all we are. This strategy is the same horrible strategy the board has had by putting in numpties running the club. But at the end of the day, if Ten Hag can pick 100%, 6 out of 6 players to come in and make an instant impact at Manchester United, we'll be fine. But it takes that insane hit rate to do so because the strategy is so sideways. And we saw it go sideways on them this summer. So I'm more sick of just the leaving it late, overpaying stuff. But you look at Ten Hag, who he's brought in, and the impact they've had. I can't say that Antony probably isn't worth $86 million. So that's how I get there. It's a big roundabout circle, but Ten Hag's track record is insane at the moment.
No, it's a good point. I mean, even, you know, like you said in the last pod, if you have like a 75% hit rate for a director of football, you're one of the best in the world. His hit rate thus far has been pretty good. You'd assume there'd be a miss somewhere. The real thing that's my concern is like the front office let him down all window. They were reactionary at the end, and they overpaid in a lot of ways. So the thing is, we've seen every time we brought in a new big deal manager, we saw it with Van Gaal, we saw it with Jose Mourinho, and now we're seeing it with Erik ten Hag. Is they spent big money his first window, and then they pull back the coffers as soon as the team starts to do well, especially if we finish in the top four. They ain't, and the Glazers are around next summer, they're not spending $100 million, nowhere near it. So like, my concern is, he got good players in, but if he had a good front office with him, he could have gotten 2-3 more players, maybe not of the grade of a Casemiro, Martinez, and Eriksen, but some players that can slot in, give you some depth, and the sales. The sales are atrocious. I mean, it's like embarrassing. The fact that like Jimmy Garner goes for £9 million with no buyback clause. Obviously, Erik ten Hag doesn't rate him, but that being said, front office is very, very weak. It's the worst front office in the league. We got money to spend, but it's how effective you are in spending that money, because, dude, that money ain't going to be around next year, even if we make Champions League, because you know they're going to pull back. They always do.
On the outs, Ahmad goes to Sunderland, so it looks like Facundo's staying. That's interesting. Bailly goes on loan, can't even sell him. Cavani was released. Lee Grant retired. Hannibal goes on loan. I like the Hannibal loan move to Birmingham. Henderson to Nottingham Forest. He's like trolling United. But like the way we dealt with, we're in the baseball cap. Like, get out of my club.
I thought about baseball cap. Like, see you later. Save the pen, but yeah, that cap.
Ethan Laird, Queen's Park Raisins on loan. Darren Levitt, Dundee. Lingard, obviously, he went to Nottingham Forest on the free. Juan Mata, Matic out. McShane, me, Mellor, Pereira, Fulham, that was a good sale. That's like one, that's the best sale of the summer.
Yeah,
that's
the
Paul Pogba left for free. And then Telles. You can't sell Telles. You can't sell Barry. Maguire wanted by Chelsea. Like, how could you not do something with... I just want us to be like a little more flexible. Like, sell Maguire to Chelsea. Get Pooley for cheap. Obviously, and I'm an American. I'm biased. But like some creative type of business. Get a right back from Chelsea. Something. I just needed to see like a little more. We just kind of stalk one player and then like overpay. We just are not nimble in the transfer market. And I think if our front office was a little more nimble, we could do it a lot better. And obviously, Ronaldo stays. Ronaldo stays. That decision is the biggest decision of the window, in my opinion. A bigger decision than signing Anthony for $86 million. And who made that decision? We do not know. Is it the Glazers and the board? Is it Joel Glazer who doesn't want to sell Ronaldo for the branding? Is it Erik ten Hag who wants to keep Ronaldo? It ain't Ronaldo.
Nope.
Ronaldo wants to leave. Something tells me ten Hag wants him to leave, and something tells me that Glazers don't want to take the L, and that is an interesting stew that's going to brew until January. And oh, by the way, you can mark your calendars. World Cup, he's going to be talking about leaving Manchester United.
What about the absence of a bid? Like, where did that factor in?
No, we had to cancel the contract.
Right.
We had to literally say, you can go.
Right.
And we wouldn't do it. So, I think at a certain point, you do it. I'm a Ronaldo fan. But you got to sign another striker. We need another. We're light. With Laurent Blanc. We met Laurent Blanc at the Lowry.
Light up front.
He said, we played PSG, we lost. We said, what do you think of the match? He says, too light. We're too light. Our attack is too late. Getting rid of Ronaldo, signing another young player, that is the move. Look at our striker. Rashford, Ronaldo, Martial. That's it.
That's it.
That's it. That's and it. Rashford
and Martial's injured. Yeah. And Rashford's better on the wing. Ronaldo wants out. I mean, that's what I was like. We spent a lot of money, but you could have gotten that kid that went to Wolves. He's a unit, giant, just a beast. But he went for £15 million. You could have saved 50, 60 if you did Casemiro earlier. You could have done Martinez and Anthony. At the beginning. Apparently, they were available for 100. We ended up spending like 150 on the two of them. Do we need like those little tinkering, you know, another midfielder? I don't even know what's going on in the midfield. Getting rid of Garner. Donny van de Beek looks like he's never going to play. You should have sold him. And the fact that you can't sell Bailly when there's demand for him, Telles when there's demand for him. The only one you could actually ship for a profit was Pereira.
Everybody knows who we are. Everyone knows all the, it's like everyone knows everyone knows they're going to get a lot of money when you sell players to United, and you're going to get good deals when you buy from United.
Great deals.
It's going to be hard to change that dynamic. All right, given those are the transfers, what is your grade for the summer transfer window, sir? You got to grade it. We do it on the American Classic.
A, B, C, D, E, F.
And there's no F minus.
No, there's no F minus.
There's a D minus. There's a D plus.
You only fail. You can only fail. There's no degrees to fail. I'm giving it. Dude, I'm giving the front office an F. I hate to say it. Like, they spent huge amounts of money, but it was very obvious that they were just, like, pissing into the wind. We made so many miffs. Ended up, honestly, we were saved by the fact that we were willing to pay top dollar for a number of targets and that people wanted to come and play for Erik ten Hag. I know this is Manchester United, greatest club in the world. You don't have to convince me. I'm a huge fan, obviously. We have this podcast, and I have Manchester United adorned all over this bunker. But, dude, I have to criticize them for, like, they couldn't do sales. The deals they did, they overpaid and waited too long and were reactionary. And some say we're not even going to do them unless we got beaten bad in our first two matches.
And the ownership protest.
And the ownership protest, which I think has to have contributed. I give Erik ten Hag pretty good marks. You know, maybe they say he was a little rigid in who he wanted, but that's good. That's how you don't end up with another Alexis Sanchez.
Big word solid for a grade.
Yeah, F. I give him an F.
You give it, this is an F?
An F, correct.
I just hear all the podcast listeners crying out that you're just a numpty for saying F.
Of course
you can't
I'm a
say F.
Of course I can say F. You just give me your grade. I'm giving the front office an F. I'm giving Erik ten Hag an A minus.
I asked you, grade F. the window. Now you're F. giving grades to different people. Okay. You're like,
I'll give him context. Go ahead. Go ahead again. Give me your grade. Okay, give me your grade.
I'm gonna give it my grade is C+. I give it C+ because so if you ask me on valuation, I'd say like D because you're overpaying in the window. But you asked me overall C+. And the reason why it's C+, another, and I think that's a tough grade. I think fans are going to be like, this is a B. This is like definitely, or could be A-. We got our man. We got the big money Brazilian. We got two Brazilian. There's a lot of different ways you can look at this transfer window. For me, it's leaving business, right? Could have signed a striker last January. We didn't. Could have signed a CDM January. We didn't. Lost two midfielders. Signed two midfielders. Probably overpaid for one, but then like not addressing right back, not addressing striker, not addressing getting another midfielder, which most likely we need, and then leaving it late for the keeper loan. So we didn't address all the areas. If you address all the areas, you get a B, in my opinion. If you go above and beyond what the team needs, you get an A. So it's just leaving no right back cover, light on the striker. I got to give it a C+. That being said, who we did sign, Casemiro, I think that's a good deal. And the way the new signings are playing. Like, if you said, hey, grade how the new signings have performed, I would say A, because every signing has come in and looked to be like they've been wearing the Manchester United shirt their whole life. They're, like, getting rid of the bluffer mentality. That is the A I would give, but just overall window, you give it a C+ because we still have outstanding positions that are open. Moving on, Carabao Cup, energy drink cup. We need a cup. We need to win something, sir. We are hungry for trophies. We are thirsty for signing. Still
thirsty.
Third round still draw, thirsty. Stevie G, Aston Villa.
Here's a question. Will he still be manager in November? No, this game was scheduled for November 8th.
Nah.
That's right before the boys leave for the World Cup. I think he's going to be done by September.
Good. Yeah, don't like him.
Nope.
Don't like Stevie G. Stevie G has a worse record now than he did, than Gary Neville had at Valencia.
I know.
And everyone makes fun of Gary Neville. The problem is nobody makes fun of Stevie G. He's got all those Liverpool numpties there. We play Aston Villa. Great matchup in the EFL Cup. Third round, November 8th, kickoff TBD. And this one, don't like it. Nope. Manchester United, top target for the new Amazon series. I do not want to see Manchester United behind the scenes.
Oh, no. This would be horrible for the club. This will be interesting because we know a little bit about Erik ten Hag. He's only been the manager of this club, this great club, for 2-3 months. He doesn't want this. He doesn't want any film crews because, Jesus Christ, like, I have confidence in his ability to run a football club, but, like, can you imagine seeing, like, Murtaugh Madness and Richard Arnold in the transfer window like they do when it's invariably, like, you know, end of window, end of summer, end of January? Like, they always talk about the front office. Those guys, they couldn't take the heat, bro.
No,
like,
I don't want
this. I don't
want
to see it.
So,
distraction.
It's a distraction. I'd love to, if Manchester United were, like, winning, like, you know, I love this. If we were back to winning titles, like, yeah, put it in the camera crew there. Like, it don't matter. But like, we're turning it around. You don't need, like, it's almost like, I don't want to know. I don't want to see what's going on behind the scenes. Could you imagine the Ronaldo shade that's being thrown? The eye rolls?
God.
Imagine the eye rolls that Ronaldo is throwing around the locker room at this point. Oh my God. This would be the worst. Also, Ten Hag's team talks, like, he's got to learn English a little better. So,
yeah. Also, you don't want to see the sausage making. You know, sometimes you just want to eat that plate of
it's
hot sausage.
It's nervy enough watching the games.
Like, it's just too much. It's too much exposure. It's never really worked out well. Like, even City rolling, you know, you look kind of silly doing this stupid show. Arsenal, the way they pumped them up, and then they're like, oh, yeah, we didn't finish in the top four. That's a bummer. There's nothing to gain from doing this. Like, Manchester United are not going to become more popular. Right, we have so many fans. We're the biggest team in the world. You don't need to go on Amazon and have like camera crews expose every element of the club for 12 months when also we know this club is not well run. So that's not going to help, right?
All right, jumping to the fan questions here at Touche. Quote, I don't know what I loved more, hearing the Glazers out chants from the away crowd loud and clear, seeing our defenders pump each other up and show passion. No way we would have won the last two games with the back four from last year.
No way. I 100% agree.
Hell no.
Clean sheets. When's the last time we were getting clean sheets on the hop? You know, two in a row.
I have
on
anxiety
the road.
Thinking about Harry Maguire playing.
He's going to come. The problem is like, he has to play. And you know, you'd love to just see him for like cup games. He's a big Europa League guy. He's going to be your new Romero.
No, it's the interview before the Liverpool game, you know, last year. And then like him just playing high and just getting dusted for like the like in the first 10 minutes, like probably
five
first 15
minutes.
It was first
minutes.
15 just like doing exactly what like he was probably told not to do.
Should have sold him to Chelsea were desperate this window.
That
they
was
were, they you should
have
done
like
a
new
swap.
American owner with a new toy has no he's
no
never watched him Maguire.
Yeah, he has no idea what he's doing.
It's like, how did you not take that one?
That's the best deal you're gonna get, honestly. He's 20 fucking nine,
45 for Maguire. They would have
swapped you
with they would have paid it. Next one here, at Jamal Motas, sirs, I'll take that one. Nils, you got. The back four looks solid, and I love how they hype each other up. I feel half as anxious with them defending with an oncoming attack. Need more shots on goal. I want to see R7 and Anthony together. Casemiro looks mint as well. So, yeah, everyone calling out the back line, but the attack needs that extra juice. Anthony, CR7. Anthony looks like I'll tell you, he's excited to be there. He likes Manchester United. He pushed for the move. He wants to be at Manchester United. That's something that we've been missing. So if he wants to be here, he's got to show up. But 80, that second highest paid player, I mean, the price tag since Paul Pogba. That's crazy.
It's a big fee. You know, I just hope he has the confidence. You know, I know United fans will give him the time. The press will not in the press. The English press will give him not a game. Like, if he comes out and looks flat in game one, they'll rip him to shreds. They don't do that with other clubs because nobody cares about Manchester City and signing Jack Grealish for £100 million and not having him start. Or Lukaku being probably the worst transfer in Premier League history, right? £100 million and they loaned him back for $5 million. But it's going to be huge amounts of pressure. We're going to give him time. They're not going to give him seven because CR7's got it. So that's good. That'll take a little pressure off of him. But, dude, I hope he has the self-confidence.
Sorry, you get Bob for 80 million. You got frosted tips. There's pressure on. Doesn't matter what
Brazilian,
number you're
Brazilian. High flair player. I just hope he hits the ground running. We're backing him, but it's big,
he's
got to
start. You got to, like, Ten Hag can't be.
Three Brazilians. I want to see Casemiro,
no,
Fred,
Ten Hag
Anthony.
Can't be like, you know, it's like you paid 85. It's like he comes and starts.
He hasn't started players, though, right away.
I know, but it's like you don't buy a player for $85 million and, like, slowly phase him in. That's agree. Probably the right move, but, like, you pay 85, you're playing. Like, I can't believe Casemiro. I think it was just the rotation. But, look, that's it. That is the podcast. We are the American Red Devils. We are for fans, by fans. Support the podcast on Patreon. We're trying to get to 100 supporters there. Please check it out, patreon.com/AmericaRedDevils. Check out our website, americaredevils.com. Click on store. Like, subscribe, rate us wherever you listen. It's just us in the bunker. We got nobody backing us. We do this for the love of the game. We got up at 6 a.m. to do this podcast. Kids, jobs, everything. Pod never sleeps. We're back, baby.
Good to be back. Manchester United are back. Feels are back. It's going to be a long season. There's going to be bumps along the road, but there's optimism abound. We've got a real deal manager. Hard to please, sir. And you know who else is hard to please? Manchester United fans, as we should be. High standards. Remember, Glazer's out. There wasn't enough of that on this podcast. Glazer's out. Always. Always.
Keep
the pressure on.
They got to go. The window, how it's going, who they have running it, the rumors about selling have calmed down. That's to be expected if it's actually occurring. You would hope to see some smoke, but again, the 1958 protests against Arsenal are coming again. We back them 100%. Like I said, we've been in contact with 1958. Classic Glazers out all day. Let's go. What are our top 10 cities last 7 days?
Number one, how you doing? How you doing? Washington, D.C., Bellingham, Washington, Tampa, Florida, Philadelphia, PA, Salem, Connecticut, Seattle, Washington, Englewood, California, Atlanta, Georgia, Belfast. Appreciate you. Ireland, and last but not least, Chicago, Illinois. Appreciate all the American Devils listening week in, week out. We could not do it without you. Big, big match against the Gunners this weekend. Let's humble Arteta, sir.
What an away crowd at Leicester City, singing Glazers out, singing Grace of English Football, we won it all. Just hearing the away, like the away fans were in full voice behind our new manager. We need that Eric Ten Hag song. Nothing's kind of caught on, so it will be interesting to see what they end up, because the manager songs are always the best.
I know they are.
Mourinho,
the Ole,
the Mourinho one was like you forget.
No,
that.
I remember
woke
that.
Up this morning.
That's a great
fine.
Chant too.
I mean, like, and it sucks because once the manager leaves, you don't
it's
sing
done.
It, you know,
you don't but sing
the,
that.
Ole's at the wheel for 20 minutes at Bishop's Place straight. Like,
amazing.
And then like, I feel like Ten Hag's hard to rhyme, so it's gonna be interesting to see what the fans come up with, but. On the chanting front, on the singing front, we're going to leave you with an oldie but a goodie 20 times. 20 times, man.